Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from New Mexico.
This is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Steve from Gilbert, Arizona.
And we're continuing on the scripture that talked about we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16.
In verse 14, it says, "You are the light of the world." Now, this light isn't like a flashlight. This word is the Greek word phos, which we get our word phosphorus from. And if you're familiar with phosphorus, it's extremely bright, a very, very bright light that all you can see everything in a room if phosphorus goes off. And that we are a light of the world because the world is dark. And Jesus sent us to be a light in the world. And it says about this, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do you light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So the light we're supposed to shine is so people can see the good works that we are to do from God and to glorify the Father in heaven. And it's interesting that he says, you don't put your lamp under a basket, but you put it up on a lampstand. And a lampstand is an interesting term to use there because later in the book of the Revelation, it makes reference that a lampstand would be like a group of people that are lights.
You know, what's interesting about that light is Jesus has seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, which in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, it lists them as the spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and the fear of God, and the spirit of Yahweh. There are seven lights. Again, the spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord and Yahweh.
You know, there was an easy way one time that somebody told me how to remember that. Do you know how it was? It's a little song. Do you guys know that? Maybe. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord.
And Jesus has seven eyes, which are all those. But how about a light being might or strength, might?
It's different than the light that we see with our eyes. It's the light of his eyes.
Now, wisdom gives you wisdom upon the earth, how to walk among men and do things right and things that are better for mankind. But the understanding is to understand in the heavenlies. By wisdom, he created the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. And so those different lights give lights in different places. Wisdom is on earth.
When the proverb says the wisdom brightens a man's face and changes his heart appearance.
So it's for men on the earth. Yes. When you talk to people, you don't want to be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. I like that scripture. I like that, that understanding that of the scripture told to us by a man of God that we want to pass on to everybody, and that we thought was, we don't want to be so heavenly minded, so untouchable that we're not understood by men that are getting to know about the Lord. We have to be careful how we present, you know, what we say. So that's something we try to be very careful and considerate. So when you deal with each one individually, we're coming across understanding it, and maybe different cultures have different understandings of things. Native cultures tend to be more on the spiritual side. They understand certain things, and different nationalities, different cultures, you might have to approach it in a wholly different direction.
Something that pops up here is we read a little bit about in the last podcast, and it's over in chapter 4, and it talked about the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And we know that to be Jesus. And here Jesus is calling us, you are the light of the world. And going along with what you guys are talking about, it's not something that we're to be hiding. We're supposed to be, I mean, he gave it to us to not hide, but to show men what the good works of God are.
We're really showing them the light of Jesus. It's shining, it should be shining through us. His light should be shining through us, giving light to show other men how to come to Jesus, how to come to know him.
And it connects
that
way.
Not just through us, but to know him themselves, so they can be, we can all become equal. In the household of God, two people, the mom went to Jesus and wanted two special places for her sons to sit. And what did Jesus think about that one? She wanted the best places, one on the right, one on the left.
He said, it's not under my charge to give you that, only my Father.
And besides, it made the other 10 apostles or disciples mad. So it caused division immediately when they wanted a higher seat, a closer seat or whatever. Then going on to the next one, 17 to 20 of Matthew chapter 5, God goes on and talks about abolishing the law or the prophets. But Jesus said he didn't come to abolish, but to fulfill. Don't think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. And if you look at the Ten Commandments, you can take the Ten Commandments, and Jesus sums them up into two different things. So where the Jewish people over the years, because of their departure from God, and adding to, we're not to add to the word of God or take away. They took away some things and they added some things. But this is not an anti-Jewish sentiment here, but it's a true statement about the history of their walk in the Lord. And there were times when they did not walk with God, as all nations have gone that route. But we're talking about them right now because we have written examples of them. And by the way, a Jewish fellow is the one that started us. So, and we actually, when we become born up, we become Jews in our heart. So this is not anti-Jewish. It is an opening up of what men normally do. This is what mankind does when they turn away from God. And they decided that even before they came and did certain, I don't know if they were working, operating in a temple, but this is the life of the Jewish person around the 1500s or 1600s in Europe. And they came up with, one of these rabbis came up with 400 different rules on how to wash your hands before you eat. So they came, Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, he came to fulfill it. But some rabbis and some Bible teachers have come to add a whole lot of difficulty to it, like 400 different commands to just wash your hands. And that is, we're not to add to the word nor take away. And I would call that one adding. Adding to a ridiculous amount. But Jesus took, sometimes he would take those Ten Commandments and talk to us about them in two. He would summarize the one that dealt with how we love God, and then he'd summarize how we love our brothers. Did you notice that? Mm-hmm. And of course, what do you think about the second book, the book of Mark, fitting that second set of five, that second tablet, which starts with, the other one ends to honor your father and your mother. That's actually part of the first tablet. And so when we take those first five commandments, it's really how we love God, including loving our mother and our father, which can also be spiritual. It's not just physically loving them. And then the second five commandments is how we love our neighbor as ourself. So somebody read 17 through 20, if you would, please. 5:17 through 20.
Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven.
So the first, you can find it in one of the places you'll find the Ten Commandments is Deuteronomy chapter 5. Isn't that interesting? Deuteronomy 5 and Matthew 5. There are so many times these things happen, it's not funny. And the first one, did you know how the Ten Commandments, how it starts? It starts with two words to us in the English language. I am. The opposite of pride, the opposite of man's pride. I am Yahweh your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. And you shall not make for yourself an idol. So these Ten Commandments ending with honor your father and your mother. In other words, that's to put a great value on your mother and father, because our mother and father on the earth represent God, how he is our father, and how the group as a whole, how our family in the Lord is a mother. And then it says in that how we treat each other, which we're going to get into in Mark, how we become a servant, is you shall not murder. And that could be actually if you rob somebody's joy, Jesus actually came to strengthen the law. And we're taught in the Old Testament not to murder, not to kill them. In the New Testament, you're not to rob their joy. And discourage somebody. And the next one is you shall not commit adultery. In other words, you shall not have another love. God is supposed to be your love. That's really the primary thing he's talking about. But also with your wife or your spouse. And that shows forth your how you love God when you have your eyes that are true towards your wife and to God. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and you shall not desire your neighbor's house, field, male servant, female servant, his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And so this goes into into that, that he did not come to destroy it. He came to fulfill, and he fulfilled every part of it. If you can imagine that. He not only overcame every lust that he was born having an inclination because he was born into Adam's fallen body, fallen nature, and he overcame it all because he's God, he's Christ. And he has shown us by his overcoming that he'll help us overcome it, but I'm afraid that I've been a believer for 50-some years, and he perfected it and never sinned within a time of 30 years. And we sin daily, yet that's not an excuse. We have to keep overcoming. We are to endure to the end and to become overcomers. Any comments on that one? Oh, yes. I saw something. How about this? Remember, Matthew is talking about the kingdom of the heavens, kingdom of heaven here in this translation. And here it is again in chapter 5. It says, whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but who keeps and teaches them shall be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So you're starting to see where this kingdom of heaven keeps coming up here, but in other places it'll be called the kingdom of God. So we're learning the rules in heaven because the earth is broken. The morality is broken. Anybody disagree with that? Or is it's a mess? There's not a country you can go to flee this. You know, even Israel, you cannot go there and get away from darkness and sin. So it's not on this earth. The salt and the light are part of the kingdom of heaven coming down, coming to earth. And eventually, Jesus is going to rule on this earth, and it will be here in the 1,000-year reign. It'll be here on earth.
And to do and to be great in the kingdom of heavens, you have to do and teach people these things. And if you don't do and teach these things, you're going to be least in the kingdom of heavens. There's something really good in that statement. Actually, there's two things good. Even if you're not perfect, you're not going to be out of the kingdom. You're just going to be least.
So there's a grading system.
It's a good, there's a not as good, if you didn't do all these things, he's going to keep working with you. God is not going to throw you out of his kingdom that quickly. But then he says something else. For I say to you, he drew a line here, except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you won't be able to enter the kingdom of heavens. This is the first time this word has come up. And entering the kingdom of heavens is another way of saying you are not in it. So the kingdom of the heavens is something that you have to get into. And he says that your righteousness has to exceed that of the religious people, the very religious people, the scribes and the Pharisees, or you won't be able to enter in.
We don't have scribes and Pharisees today.
What he's saying here is that the Jews had the scribes and the Pharisees, but a mishandler of the word of God can be a Jew that's a Pharisee or a scribe, just like that. They can be people that don't do what God says, don't accurately say what his book says to do. And that could be people that are in Christianity.
How about ministers? How many ministers?
Ministers,
don't,
yeah.
Don't give me an answer, but I'm going to pose a question that I want to leave unanswered. How many ministers today are scribes and Pharisees? You answer it. That's for you to answer out there. How many people do not act like Jesus, but proclaim him and are scribes and Pharisees? They write about the Bible, scribe, and
a Pharisee had a lot of rules that he added to what God had to say. and they were hypocrites. They didn't do what it said. That's maybe the easiest measure to have of someone that talks about it a lot and doesn't do it at all. That's a Pharisee.
Anybody that imposes regulations or dues that are not written in the Bible and say exactly what the Bible says, have the same heart and mind, have the same intent as what the Bible says, that's a scribe and a Pharisee. How about 21 through 26? Please, this is going to get more personally here.
You have heard that the ancients were told, "You shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, 'You good for nothing,' shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering."
To 26.
Oh. "Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are still with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent."
So I got a question for everybody here. What do you think our courts are like in America today?
Corrupt.
Yes, corrupt.
Broken, another word is broken. Where's justice?
Well, the judgment isn't equal in each court. So I won't go so far as to say as each court has its own level of justice, but surely there are many forms of justice in all of the courts that we had. It's just not one, here's the rules, do it just this way.
Is everybody in America getting exactly, we'll just deal with America. Is everybody in America getting equal justice? In other words, can some people do one thing and get away with it and other people do the same thing and not get away with it?
Oh, sure. It's the judgment's broken. It could be because of association or families. It could be because of money. It could be for whatever. But if you get special deals, that's that God likes a just weight and measurement. And he says that if it's not a just weight and measurement, he's so far to say that it's an abomination to him.
So
strong
so,
words.
So we're doing two things. One thing, we're talking about the present judgment on the earth. And most Christians, they freak out when you hear about the word judgment. And they, what's the one scripture almost every Christian says?
You mean the only one they know on judgment?
The only
judge
one
not,
I ever hear.
That you be not judged. So let's don't do any judgment.
And somebody was just called me and told me the first word that they found in judgment was about a boat.
Oh yeah, it was in Acts when Paul, they decided to leave a port. So the word decision or decide is the first time it shows up in the...
So they went to the Supreme Court, right? I mean,
no,
this is how ridiculous that thing is.
It was an everyday decision.
You know, should I get in the boat? Let me see. Let me call up the Supreme Court. And it's so ridiculous. It means to make a decision. And the word, don't freak out about judgment. It's the Greek word krino, and it starts off about everyday decisions you make. What you're going to do. And one might be, well, I'm going to take a car to Disneyland. I might take a boat to Disneyland. Seriously. And so there are some things that have to do with life and death, and some things is just making a decision. But when you say, judge not lest you be judged, that's the only, how should we call it? It's the only facet. It's the only...
Usage
or... The way we think about judgment, it has to do with much, much more. You should be using it every day in your work. You should be trying to do the best job you can. So you learn more, you go to school, and you learn more ways to do it. And you go, oh, I'm glad I took this class because I learned that actually water has a lot to do with a road that I built. It's not just, cars traveling on it. I have to deal with water too when there's high floods. So you go and learn that class. Well, the next road you build better. You learn to make judgments in your jobs. And maybe you say the wrong thing to your wife. Well, if you use the right judgment, you won't do that again. You'll try to say the one that won't kill her because you said something bad about the way she cooked. You robbed her of her joy. And the next time, you just don't do that.
Working in restaurants for a number of years as a cook, it's important to judge whether or not the food that you're putting out there is cooked to temp. If you aren't using proper judgment on that, cooking some chicken, and you send that out, it could have consequences. And the consequences could be... they could vary, but, you know, sickness, things like that.
He was using cook talk, and I mean temperature, making sure it's the right temperature to kill all the bacteria, and it's about 165 degrees.
Yeah.
What was the temperature?
I think it was 165. Yeah. But you point is that you know, you're using judgments like that, and that's your kind of the day-to-day. And in the scriptures here, we want to be using righteous judgments.
And you want to... treat your fellow workers, because how you get along will also turn out in the food. If you're all getting along and everybody's being supported and the staff is all, even to the dishwasher, to the CEO, to the manager, to the assistant manager, the wait staff, and so on, if everybody's happy, that restaurant is going to be doing well and they'll put out excellent food. And it's judgment. It's an everyday thing. So I wish they would study out the word judgment. And eternal means, it's the Greek word alpha omega. And it starts with songs and music. It's the first usage of it, song and music judgment. Sometimes maybe you need to sing one of the Bible verses and the truth will come out. And you'll use the right judgment if you calm down and just sing one of the Psalms, and you'll do the right thing.
Just the word itself, Alpha Omega, the first letter and the last letter of the Greek alphabet, show that that is to be from the beginning to the end of everything you do in your life and forever. Judgment's always going to be there.
Big picture judgment.
Yeah, there it is. It's right there in the term.
And how about air flyer? You get above the situation. Don't get down in the mud and mud wrestle. Get above it and look at it from God's perspective. Here again, the kingdom of the heavens. And there's also wind is Alpha Omega. The next one, I don't know if we have time to go into that, but we're going to continue on in this. Again, we're looking at the four different books, the book of Matthew, being Jesus is the king, and that's where we are right now. And it focuses, and look at the kingdom of heaven. He's the kingdom, and his domain is the kingdom of heaven, and it comes to earth. And then we will go into Mark, which will be servitude and how we treat each other, treat other people on the earth to draw them to the Lord. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth, and we're going to continue on in this, in the next audio tape.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."